Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 to 18.
Now Abraham moved on from there into the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while he stayed in Gerar, and there Abraham said of his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, "You are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman." Now Abimelech had not gone near her, so he said, "Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, 'She is my sister'? And didn't she also say, 'He is my brother'? I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, you may be sure that you and yours will die." Early the next morning, Abimelech summoned all his officials, and when he told them all that had happened, they were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham in and said, "What have you done to us? How have I wronged you so that you have brought such great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should not be done." And Abimelech asked Abraham, "What was your reason for doing this?" Abraham replied, "I said to myself, 'There is surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God had me wandering from my father's household, I said to her, 'This is how you can show your love to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, "He is my brother."'" Then Abimelech brought sheep and cattle and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham, and he returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, "My land is before you. Live wherever you like." To Sarah he said, "I am giving your brother 1,000 shekels of silver. This is to cover the offence against you before all who are with you. You are completely vindicated." Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his slave girls, so that they could have children again. For the Lord had closed up every womb in Abimelech's household because of Abraham's wife, Sarah.
Please leave your Bibles open there. Let's pray. Father God, we pray as we are about to approach your word, Lord, and reflect on the meaning of what we've just heard. We pray that your spirit would guide us, that you would convict our hearts, that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, help us to put aside all of the different things that we might be distracted by, Lord, and help us to just sit in your presence and to hear from you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Picture this. Someone is out in deep water. They're terrified. They're struggling for their lives. Every movement they make is frantic as they're fighting for every single breath. Even if a rescuer swims out and tries to save them, it's not easy to help somebody who's splashing around frantically like that. A panicked swimmer instinctively grabs onto anything nearby as they thrash around to try and stay afloat. And even the strongest, most experienced rescuer can be pulled down by a person who they're trying to save. And so when a rescuer goes out to save someone, they have to carefully assess the situation. They need to think about things like how deep the water is, how strong the currents are, what the hazards are around them, and what they are able to do. Only then, and then only, can they save somebody safely. And it can be the same in our walk with the Lord. We might know in our heads that God can save us, protect us, and provide for us. We might even recite his promises with confidence. But when trials come, when we're dealing with things like fear, failure, temptation, or anxiety, our hearts don't always grasp the truth. Like the panicked swimmer, we flail around, we struggle, we instinctively try to grab onto anything we can to try and save ourselves, which only makes matters worse. Faith, like a water rescue, requires careful steps, recognizing our need, realistically assessing the situation, and trusting God to act. God has given us prayer, he's given us scripture, he's given us his people and his Holy Spirit. But until the hope we have in Jesus moves from our head to our heart, fear will still control us. Just as a rescuer patiently brings a struggling swimmer in safely, God patiently invites us to stop thrashing about and to rely on him, allowing his grace to carry us through even when fear and failure threatens to overwhelm us. Now we know that Abraham was a great man of faith. He had incredible faith in God's promise because he was willing to trust God to leave his homeland, his friends, his family, his whole support network, and go to a place that God hadn't even told him where it had actually be. He exercised faith that wasn't just in his head, but was also in his heart. Through faith, Abraham rescued Lot and his household from the four eastern kings. By faith, Abraham trusted God to do what was right with Sodom and his nephew Lot. But even though Abraham was a man of faith, he was also just an ordinary human being like all the rest of us. And so along with the times when he exercised great faith, there were also times when he instinctively tried to grab a hold of anything he could to try and save himself, which only made matters worse. Now, if you remember back to Genesis chapter 12, not long after God had called Abraham to go, to leave his family and everything that he knew and go to a place that God would show him, there was a famine in the land. And as soon as there was a famine, Abraham moved his family, his household, everything he had into Egypt. And there, rather than trusting that God would provide and protect him, Abraham encouraged his wife, Sarah, to tell everybody that she was his sister, which of course backfired in a really big way. When they arrived in Egypt, Abraham and Sarah told everyone that they were siblings. And because Sarah was a very beautiful lady, Pharaoh took her into his harem, intending to make her his wife. But before Abraham had managed to mess up God's promise by trying to save himself instead of trusting God, God stepped in and inflicted Pharaoh with a disease and all of his household so that Pharaoh couldn't sleep with Sarah and so that Pharaoh would know that he had taken another man's wife. And by God's grace and God's grace alone, God saved Sarah and he saved Abraham while protecting his promise. Now, you would think that if you'd gone through something like that, having your wife taken off to a king's harem, not being able to do anything about that, and then being saved through the miraculous hand of God, you would think after you'd gone through something like that, you'd do everything you could to try and avoid putting yourself in that kind of situation again. But no, not Abraham. And sadly, if we're honest, no, not any of us. Abraham trusted in God's promise and he knew that God would do what was right. But that knowledge didn't always make it from his head to his heart. But he isn't alone, is he? I'd like to say that whenever I'm tempted by a specific sin and I deal with that sin, that's it, it's over, it's done with. But most of us get tempted by different kinds of sins, and we're often tempted by those sins over and over again. I would like to say that the first thing that I think of when I'm facing a problem is that I'll take that to the Lord. But if I'm completely honest, and if we're all honest, a lot of the time my response is first to splash around and try and figure out any way that I can to save myself or get myself out of that situation, until I finally realize where my true hope comes from and take my fears and concerns to the Lord. Because it isn't until we stop splashing around, trying to save ourselves, that we're finally able to rest in the Lord and trust that he is always faithful to his promises. So today's passage firstly shows those who trust in him that our failures don't cancel out God's faithfulness. Our failures don't cancel out God's faithfulness. As these verses begin, Abraham has moved his household from the Negev, a region in the Negev, and settled in Gerar. We aren't told why Abraham moved there, but some suggest that maybe the feed had run out for their livestock and they'd moved on to better pastures. And there was nothing wrong with this move from the Negev to the Gerar, because both of these places are within the realm of Canaan, within the promised land. But it was what Abraham told his wife to do while they were in Gerar that got them in trouble for the second time. It was around 27 years after they had gone into Egypt by this point. But Abraham couldn't possibly have forgotten how much trouble it had caused them and their whole household last time they lied about Sarah being his sister. And yet, like all of us, Abraham made the same mistake he'd made before. He told Sarah to tell the people of Gerar that they were brother and sister out of fear for his life. And as soon as word got around that they were just siblings, Abimelech, king of Gerar, took Sarah into his harem, intending to make her his wife. I mentioned this earlier to a few of you. At this point, Sarah was 97 years old, so she was quite a youthful and beautiful 97-year-old. She did live to over 140 years old, so some have suggested she obviously looked a lot younger than her age. This is the second time that Abraham had made the same mistake of not trusting God enough to put his life in God's hands. In fact, it doesn't even appear as though this was the second time that they had done this. Because when Abraham later explains why they had lied in verse 13, he says this was their practice, that everywhere they would go, Sarah would say that Abraham was her brother. Abraham trusted in God's promise. He believed God's word. But what he knew in his head didn't always make it to his heart. And so once again, Abraham put God's promise in jeopardy. Abraham messed up big time, and he should have known better. He knew the trouble that it had caused last time, and yet he still tried to save himself rather than trusting the Lord. But even though he knew that with his head, it didn't make it to his heart. We often do the same. We often try and fix our problems instead of trusting God. But our failures, our mistakes, don't cancel out God's faithfulness. And so before Abimelech had a chance to make Sarah his wife, God came to Abimelech in a dream and warned him that he was as good as dead if he didn't give Abraham back his wife. Abraham had messed up big time. He had splashed around trying to save himself. But despite Abraham's failures, God remained faithful to his promise, and he saved Abraham and Sarah, despite their foolish attempts to save themselves. Secondly, today's passage is showing those who trust in the Lord that no one is too far gone for God to save. No one is too far gone for God to save. As God spoke to Abimelech in a dream, Abimelech's reply shows that he had no idea about the deception that Abraham had made. It says in verses 4 and 5, you'll read, "Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, 'She is my sister'? And didn't she also say, 'He is my brother'? I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands." Abimelech had no intention of fighting against the living God. He wasn't rebelling against God, nor was he trying to attack or harm Abraham. But because Abraham had written off Abimelech and all of his people before they'd even got there, Abraham put Abimelech and his people in a very dangerous situation. Abraham was the one whom God would use to bless all the nations of the earth. And yet, rather than being a blessing to the people of Gerar, rather than sharing God's promise with them, Abraham's lie caused them to face the threat of God's judgment. When Abimelech found out about what Abraham had done, he was terrified. And when he got up early the next morning and shared that information with his officials, they were also in great fear. This pagan king had acted with innocence. And that's why he was able to rebuke Abraham, this holy man, this prophet of the Lord, in verse 9. There he says, Abimelech says, "What have you done to us? How have I wronged you that you have brought such guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should not be done." Abraham had written them off as someone who is too far gone to save. But even this pagan king, who had very little opportunity, if any, to hear about the living God, could see that what Abraham had done was wrong. And yet if it was up to Abraham, Abimelech and all of his people would have been written off. Abraham was thinking of them just as wicked as the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. But God had other plans. You see, Abraham, in his own words in verse 11, he says, "I said to myself, 'There is surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife.'" Abraham is splashing around, using his own wisdom, trying to avoid the dangers, rather than trusting in the Lord. But even though Abraham had failed to show God's blessing to Abimelech and the people of Gerar, when God spoke to Abimelech in a dream, he responded with the fear of the Lord. Abimelech, it says, brought out sheep and cattle, male and female servants, and gave them to Abraham, and brought back his wife Sarah. And then he said to Sarah, "I'm giving your brother," notice he refers to him as a brother, not a husband, it's almost a bit of a stab, a bit of a dig, "I'm giving your brother 1,000 shekels of silver. This is to cover the offense against you before all who are with you. You are completely vindicated." Now, this was an incredible fortune that Abimelech had just given to Sarah. According to what I worked out, the average worker, it would take him 83 years to earn this amount of money. This was an enormous amount of money. God would use Abraham to bless all the nations of the earth, but here, because of his fear of the Lord, it was Abimelech, this pagan king, who was blessing Abraham as he lavished these gifts on Abraham and Sarah and invited them to stay anywhere they would like in his land. Like Abraham, we can so often assume that we know how people are going to respond to the good news of Jesus. We can sometimes unknowingly or even knowingly write people off as we think to ourselves, surely there is no fear of God in this place. But these verses show us that God's mercy is greater than our failures and that no one is too far gone for God to save. Today's passage is reminding us that God's grace is so much bigger, so much greater than our failures and our mistakes. Abraham had seen God's faithfulness in so many ways. He had had the opportunity to speak to God himself in person. But he was still struggling with the same old sin that had caused him heartache and pain in the past. Abraham knew that God was faithful to his promises, but he was still struggling to get that head knowledge to his heart. He was splashing around trying to grab a hold of anything to pull himself up and save himself. But even though Abraham was failing to trust in God's provision, God remained faithful to his promises. Last week in chapter 19, Abraham was pictured as the one who was choosing to trust God beyond what he could see, as he trusted God to do what was right with the people of Sodom and his nephew Lot. However, here in chapter 20, we see Abraham making the same old mistakes that he'd made all the way back in chapter 12, a mistake that he would sadly pass on to his son, who would do the same thing in chapter 26. But in contrast to Abraham's lack of faith and his attempts to save himself, Abimelech, this pagan king, treats Abraham and his wife with a clear conscience and clean hands. When confronted by the living God over what he had done, Abimelech was found innocent. No doubt to Abraham's surprise, because he'd already written him off, assuming that there was no fear of God in that place. When Abimelech received the word of the Lord, he responded with the fear of the Lord. And he not only believed what was told to him in his head, it also reached his heart and manifested itself in action as he lavished these blessings on Abraham and Sarah. These verses are warning those who trust in the Lord not to write anyone else off, because no one is too far gone for God to save. After all, God saved us while we were still rebelling against him. And so we can be certain, based on our own experience, that God can change the heart of even the most rebellious sinner. After Abimelech had given Sarah back to Abraham and lavished these incredible gifts on them, Abraham prayed on Abimelech's behalf. He acted as a mediator between God and Abimelech. And God heard Abraham's prayer and healed Abimelech and his wives so that they could have children again. Abraham was a man of faith in the living God, even though that faith didn't always make it from his head to his heart. But the good news of God's promise is that a better Abraham has come. Unlike Abraham, who failed to trust God all the time and who lied and deceived, Jesus trusted God the Father in all things. He never faltered in fear. He never splashed around trying to grab on to something to save himself. He lived a life of perfect obedience to God the Father. And he doesn't just mediate between God and man. He established a full reconciliation between God and man. through his life, death, and resurrection. In these verses, we've seen how God protects Sarah from sin and preserves his promise. But Jesus took the full weight of every sin we have ever done and will ever do on himself and paid for them on the cross, fulfilling God's promise. God's promise to Abraham was that all the people of the earth would be blessed through him. And that promise was ultimately fulfilled through Jesus, the greater descendant of Abraham. Through him, all the nations of the earth are blessed, because all those who trust in him, no matter what nation they come from, no matter how unlikely, and no matter how much they have failed personally, can find forgiveness, hope, and salvation through God's grace because of Jesus. Who knows what God might be about to do in our midst? Who knows who God is about to bring to himself? But what we can know is that God's love for us in Jesus is greater than our failures, greater than our stubbornness, and greater than our fears. Because God has fulfilled his promise to Abraham, and he has done it through his son, Jesus. And if we have faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're among those who have been blessed by the greater descendant of Abraham and who no longer have to fear the consequences of our sin or even physical death itself, because our faith in Jesus has reconciled us to God. Our sins have been forgiven and we've received the incredible gift of eternal life with Jesus Christ. Let's pray and give him thanks. Father God, we acknowledge that we've messed up just as many times, or many more probably, than Abraham. That we have fallen for the same old sins that we've struggled with time and time again. That we know that we know your will for our lives. We know what you want for us. We know your word, but we still make mistakes and fall into old habits. Lord, we thank you, though, that even though we are weak and frail, your grace is far greater than our failures. Your mercy is much bigger than anything we have messed up. And so, Lord, we pray in thanks for your mercy and grace. We pray that you would help us to continue to find our confidence, our hope, and our joy in what you have done for us through Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.